Sounds good. I'm convening the February 13th, 2025, meeting of the South Whidbey Fire and EMS Board. At this point, you have called to order. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
None opposed. Carries. The next item in the agenda is public input. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to address Mr. Land with the phone company, since you've signed in? State your name and who you're with and talk to us. Oh,
You must turn on
wait
your
a minute.
mic.
Start over. You're
Yeah,
not.
just hit the button.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
I know you're a soft-spoken guy, but that was too soft.
My name is Josh Land with Whidbey Telecom. I'm the telecom manager as well as government affairs and tribal affairs. I'm here to speak about the state U.S. Universal Service Program. It's been in existence since 2013. Currently, it is toward its end, sunset, and we're looking to renew it. This is the only mechanism in the state that allows telephone companies that are carriers of last resort to use funds that maintain and upgrade existing networks. So this handles calls that can run across 911 services for everyone in the community, and it's handles internet services and those type of things. These funds are critical because the carriers of last resort are actually obligated to connect to every person in their service area. Right now we're in Olympia speaking with legislature. It's currently in the Senate under the Senate Environment, Emergency and Technology Committee. Once it passes, it'll go to a vote and we'll have a hearing on it. And what we're looking for is support from local community members or community members and was it emergency service members, local police, fire departments, anchor institutions.
So, commissioners, questions of Mr. Land. Commissioner Towers?
The support that Whidbey Tel gets from this, how many people roughly does it impact, and what sort of value do
For
you get?
South Whidbey, it would be the entire community. Every customer for Whidbey or any new customer, services that would be maintained to them, services that need to be upgraded or repaired. This would be making sure services are quality, equipment gets replaced in the central offices, and these funds are always brought back into the COs, into the field where you see our technicians out in the area. This does not do new builds. This is existing networks.
So this is basically a maintenance policy for you
Yes.
on the
For every carrier of last resort in the state, it's open to anyone that is a public or private a company. They just are obligated to provide services to everyone. It is actually overseen by the Utility Commission in Washington State as well, and we do annual reports to them to show them the success of this program to ensure that they see the results that are in place.
Excuse my ignorance on this because I until about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I didn't even know this existed. So I tried to spend some time looking at it yesterday, but still sort of catching up. This sort of peaked with about 43,000 people in the state, and it's dropped a bit. Is the drop due to changes in delivery, or is it due to changes in population, or is what's happening?
With that, it's going to be changes with deliveries. Some people have moved to different areas. Some have gone to different equipment, different systems. For Whidbey Telecom, we service, well, we're less than 20,000, which we still make the threshold. But overall, it's just changes in where people work now. And some have gone to different communities due to internet services and other areas for remote jobs. And others have just, carrier changes and those type of things, kind of a mix of those types.
And this affects, I think there was like 15 companies or so named. This affects quite a fair bit of the population of Washington.
Yes, these are quite a bit of the rural population in Washington State. A lot of the independent telephone companies are all over their area. They're still obligated to provide all these services. Some of these services, when they build out to a new place that's in their service territory, can be $15,000 for a build or $100,000. This helps with getting these services there to make sure those existing ones are there and maintained.
Okay, I think that's
Commissioner Erickson.
Didn't do as much research as Commissioner Towers. I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around what this means exactly for the district. And then my other question is in regards to if we support this as a board, where our support goes, how that works in the big picture of all of this. But to back up when we were talking about providing service and maintaining what infrastructure is out there already, I'm trying to understand. So if I live in Island County, or if I live where Woodby Telecom provides service, how does this bill affect the average citizen of the county or the service district?
The services, if you're a customer in Woodby Telecom's area, you will, our equipment is maintained and upgraded, repairs get into place, so it improves quality of services. As systems age, sometimes they quit manufacturing parts, so systems have to be replaced, or we have to go to different members or different companies and kind of see what we can find in types of equipment. This will replace with more modernized equipment that we have that still provide those same type of services as we upgrade our other networks with other types of resources, but this is the only mechanism for existing networks. So if you have broadband that runs across it, voice services that run across the same connections, this impacts everything. Your ability to call 911 from your house all traverses through these networks. And so being able to reach the PSAP and communicate for an emergency, radio backhaul that you guys use for your connections in between carriers, there's connections in between for the copper connections that still exist, or connections that run through our central offices. Everything is linked in together.
So if this bill is not supported at the state level, then you have to come up with the funds to do the maintenance as Woodby Telecom.
Funds would have to be shifted around. You have to prioritize certain areas, and we'd prefer to be able to have these funds available to go immediately to repair areas that are impacted. And other projects can be delayed due to the changes that would have to be placed.
So this impacts us as a fire district. And does it affect if I am an internet user, if I don't use Woodby Telecom, if I use a different provider?
If it's a different provider, if they are eligible for those funds, for instance, if they do fall under that section, then they would be impacted. But if it's a provider that doesn't get those funds, they would have a different mechanism. They may have different people that have investments or other things for that. But for Woodby Telecom, we're a small rural telephone company, so we rely on these services and funds to make sure our services are quality for our community and ensure that they're able to get the services that they need.
Okay. And so if the South Woodby Fire Board of Commissioners supports this, is that a resolution that we vote on and then it shows our support? Because I don't think we can, or unless we go and help stump in Olympia.
This would be, for instance, once it goes through and gets a hearing, they like to have people sign in to vote if they're in favor of this bill or not in favor. And we're looking for support from the local community.
When you say sign in?
It would be online. And once they have the hearing, and there's a link that they provide before they get a hearing, and then you can sign in. It has who is signing in, and they want to know, are you in favor of this bill or not in favor of this?
So you would be asking us as commissioners to sign in and show our support that way. So it's an individual thing. It's
exactly
not a board thing.
Yes, it's an individual thing.
Got it. Could I redirect to the chief? I don't know if you've had time to research this and if you have more context or an opinion on this.
I have had very little time to research it. We just met yesterday afternoon. Ostensibly, it sounds like a good idea, mm-hmm. but and I guess I'm learning now that this would be individuals signing in.
Yes.
What are they asking for, rank and title or what you represent or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, a lot of it they'll ask who you're associated with and want to know who's actually signing in for this information as well.
Okay, so if we were in support of this and I were to sign in and say I am with South Woodby Fire EMS, then I would ask the board if they was were going to support that or not. What date did you reckon that is going to be?
Well, I assumed it was going to be tomorrow, but I found a little more information. It's still in the Senate Energy, what was it, Environment and Technology Committee. Once it passes there, then they'll have to submit it for a hearing, so there'll be a vote put on that, and potentially it could be late next week. It's just really on legislature's time to see when they schedule it.
Okay.
Okay, and then if we were to sign in and identify ourselves as fire commissioners for South Woodby Fire AMS, is it? I'm unfamiliar with our state legislative process. Do we? Is it the number of people that show up that gives it credence?
It kind of gives a to see how much of the public is in support of this.
So how many people are willing to take time out of their
Yes.
day to sign in and say, I'm here because I support this?
Yes.
And is it at So, but it's on our legislators to make the vote.
Yes, and they'll kind of see how many folks are actually in favor of this bill.
So there could be people who sign in who are not in favor.
There are some that are not in favor. Some of
Okay.
them are from a more urban area. They prefer to have the funds use it for something else, typically more in an urban environment. We have a lot of folks that are, we've explained, in rural communities that deserve the same access as an urban environment. So this is where it's more expensive to provide services in a rural area.
So these funds will help offset the cost of people subscribing to service in our community. That's
It will offset repair costs for within the company. We are bound by the Utility Commission on fees, and we're regulated, so we have to adhere to what they ask us to charge. This would actually reduce costs so we can continue to build out, but focus on maintaining and repairing as well with these existing funds that have been in place since 2013.
okay. I think those are my questions. But maybe to the board, it's we can decide individually if we want to support this. Is that
I thought we'd have a discussion. Let me get a couple of my questions about this, the intent of this, and then maybe the board can just have a little discussion on this. If for some reason the legislation or this renewal doesn't pass, what effect would that have on Woodby Tell?
It would have a big impact for us. We would have to basically figure out ways to get certain things repaired that we were used to having those funds to before. So it would be moving projects maybe down the road for certain items and having to delay maintenance on certain items and get more to priority items as well. Services, certain equipment, we may try to prolong certain things. Depends on what funds are available.
So how long has this been in place? And previously, what has Woodby Tell received from this agreement?
This has been in place since 2013,
Okay.
and it has been it was stretched out for a 10-year mark. So every year they would allocate about $5 million out of the general fund. Woodby Telecom received about said about 700 to 800,000 a year for this fund for the network to make sure that things are repaired properly, replacement for equipment. So it is a big impact for us. And
Yeah.
so it varies from year to year based on what funds are available and everyone that is involved. But that's what we've had the last few years.
Okay, so 700,000 is more than chump change,
Yes.
right? It's a sizable amount.
And this is on the WUTC website.
I believe they have the report on there. I'll have to double check that and make sure.
So, I mean, it seems laudable. The question I would have is if we passed a resolution in favor of this, that could be sent to whomever, to our legislators. I guess the question is, what do you want from this board?
Overall, we would like to get the support with folks signing in. It could be individually or as a group you decide, but to say that you are in support of this bill. And so the legislature and the committees, they're aware of it when they get to a vote that there are folks within the emergency service realm that are actually in favor of this.
So, can this be done digitally?
Yes.
Because, I mean, to take a whole day to go down there and sign in is.
Yes, this can be done just in front of a computer. The links can be provided. We've had folks in on previous hearings
Okay.
that we had within the last week that signed in and voted in favor, or some wrote letters of support and submitted it to us so we could get it up to the groups
Okay.
and the legislature.
So just the last a little edification for me, it's one thing to have potentially all three of us commissioners signing in saying we're in favor. Would a resolution supporting this from the board help the cause?
I believe so.
Okay. So I guess the question I'll ask the commissioners, is there any thought of us to do some kind of resolution that we could digitize and send down to whomever we need to send down to? Commissioners, your thoughts?
I'm not always great at verbalizing a resolution off the top of my head, so it feels a bit rushed to try and draft one this evening.
We don't need the, we don't need the text right now. What we need is a I just want a consensus of the board that we would want to move on this, and then we could have some kind of a document that we can subsequently digitize and send down there. So right now, I just want to know, do the other commissioners feel this is something we should weigh in on favorably?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of weighing in favorably for this.
I don't, it seems like a good thing to get behind.
Well, then make it anonymous, because I agree. I think it's a good thing. The money's out there, and if we don't put our dibs in, somebody else will get it. That, isn't that the bottom line?
They'll reallocate the funds to something else,
Yeah.
basically.
Okay.
Can I just ask one more follow-up
Sure.
question, which is, are there other entities that you have been going to for support?
Right now, this is the only one in the state, the only mechanism on there. As far as any entity, it would be outside anything with the legislature on that.
I mean, you representing Whidbey Telecom. Are there any other
We work
government
with
or?
WITA at the Washington Independent Telephone Association. So it's a band of independent telephone or companies across the state, and they are in rural areas. So Eastern Washington, Southern Washington, on the peninsula, they're all over the place.
I see. So not like the central Whidbey fire commissioners or the
Oh,
Island
I'm
County
sorry, I
commissioners.
misunderstood. We have been working with Chief Carlton up in Point Roberts
Okay.
in the
Because
Island
that's
County.
your service area. I mean, your
Yes.
service area goes to the phone booth on the highway up here
Yes.
and down here in Point Roberts.
And then Central Whidbey, I have reached out, but I have not got a reply on it.
Okay.
And then,
Okay.
but we've got other companies too that are involved that are working, and they've gotten some of their other fire commissioners and fire chiefs involved as well. Some have spoken on behalf in front of
Okay.
the committees as well.
So I'm going to take the liberty of conceptualizing what I think is the consensus of the board, that we can come up with a resolution with the appropriate language that supports this extending the state universal communication programs for another 2 years. And there's stuff here. We can come up with something, and then if commissioners agree with that, we can provide that to all of us, and then combine appropriate signature on the resolution and be done with it. And then we would send that to both to you, but also at least to our legislators that serve our area. And then if you have use for it, so be it.
Thank you.
So what I Chief, we'll put something together in the next couple of days and then get it off to the appropriate people.
Sounds like a plan. I can circulate that to the board for approval prior.
Okay.
Okay. Very agreeable. We'll put something together and target for Monday or Tuesday to have something. I'm assuming what you're telling me, it's ripe, but it's not ready to be plucked down there.
Yeah, it's right now we're making the effort to get it there, but it's just trying to get it across the line and get it
Yeah.
approved.
Okay.
Just continue for 2 more years.
Any other questions? I have something off the wall. We use WidViTel for our local landline, and your service that allows us to block telemarketer calls is 5-star.
Oh, thank you. I was actually involved on doing the configurations and working with everyone on that, different carriers and the whole thing with the FCC. So it's yeah, we're definitely here local. Speaking of someone that worked on it to get the system
Yeah.
upgraded and get everything implemented.
No, I just like to be able to know that that bozo that called me is blocked.
That's nice.
Anyway, hey, thanks for coming, and we'll put something together and probably circulate a draft. Chief, we can circulate a draft to Josh to see if it's the appropriate language before we look at it.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Thanks for coming, and onward through the fog.
Thank you for your time. Y'all have a good day.
All righty. Take care. At this point, is there anybody else in the audience that would want to speak at this point? If not, we have on item 4 on the agenda is the consent agenda. For the audience's purposes, everything listed have been distributed to each member of our board for reading and study. And these are routine items and will be enacted in one motion of the commissioners with no separate discussion. And of course, if any discussion is required, we can remove that from the consent agenda. At this point, is there a motion from the board to approve the consent agenda as presented to us?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. I like it. If it's approved. At this point, we're going to retire to an executive session. And again, for the record, this is to consider a minimum price for real estate to be offered to sale or lease when where public knowledge regarding, get my tongue untied, regarding such considerations would cause a likelihood of decreased price. However, final action of selling or leasing of public property shall be taken in a meeting upon open to the public. Chief, about how long will we need for executive?
I think 15 minutes would be reasonable. Yep.
Okay, so we are, let's see, why don't we say about 4:40? Would that be appropriate, do you think?
I think so.
Okay,
Yes.
so we'll return at 4:40 and go from there. And Josh, you can go. The Board of South Whidbey Fire and EMS returns from executive session discussing property matters. No actions were taken and nothing will be reported at this point. At this point, we go to item 6 on the agenda, new business. First item has been covered from WidViTel. We now go to item 2, which is a cash flow projection report. Chief?
Thank you. Just get to that sheet. So we had discussed with the board updating our cash flow projection for the year of 2025 with the closing out of the 2024 budget. This is a document that just allows us to estimate where our account balances will be throughout the year to ensure we have adequate funds, particularly for the larger capital purchases. I will just walk you through kind of the highlights on the document. There's a kind of a lot.
This is a document that follows this would be telecon information.
Yes, sir. It'll have a green line
Got it. Got
about
it.
3/4 of the way down. So if you looked on the left-hand side of that, you'll see a bold 2025. The next two lines below that are the beginning balances for the general fund and capital reserves fund. The capital reserves fund is where we keep is an interest-bearing account. And if you follow that down to the bottom, just above the green line, you'll see running balance.
Gotcha.
That is the account balances that we started the year with. Those are the actual account balances in our treasury accounts with the county. Okay, and then if you look just below those two fund balances, the general fund and the capital reserve, and to the right, you'll see January, February, March, April marching out. And you come down that to the green line, and that shows the running balance in those accounts, in that account as the months go through. We have not, and then you can flip the page and it goes through the end of the year. We have put some capital items have been input, specifically the two water tenders. And I believe I put in the payment for Marine 3, the initial down payment for Marine 3, it's $420,000. That's out in June. We know we paid for the tender in January. We think we're going to pay for the second one in March. It could come a little sooner. But you can see the running balance leaves us in a pretty good position for the rest of the year. If you come down below the green line, you'll see capital not included. Those are capital items that have not been input to the spreadsheet yet because we don't know when those costs will occur. Those costs total 1.464 million. So, as you can see, we will be in a good place really at any point through the year to weather those costs. What we don't know for certain is if you head back up to the top and you see 2025 estimated levy revenue, we input the numbers that we anticipate receiving each month from levy revenue based on what we got last year as a percentage of the total. I don't know if that makes sense. We don't know for sure what we'll get each month because it just depends on when people pay their taxes.
Pay early and often.
Pay early and often.
So, Chief, a clarification. You're showing estimated levy revenue. You have 19,000 and change in January and 42,000 in 3 February, and then you're up to 831,000 and then 3.35 in April. Help clarify why there's such a jump on those months.
So the property taxes are broken out into first half and second half
Okay.
taxes. And so the county tends to get a really large payment, or we tend to get a large payment of taxes in April and October.
Gotcha.
And then we get kind of a middle one in March. So
Okay. No, that's I figured that was the case. I'll speak for my wife and me. We don't want to pay them till we absolutely have to.
yeah. And I would be remiss not to mention the hard work Mary Kay, our finance officer, has done putting this projection together. Projections aren't easy and they aren't perfect. Okay. So we're it's always a guess
Yay, Mary
on some
Kay.
of it, but
Presently, it looks like it's very healthy, and by the end of the year, we should be able to weather our capital expenses.
agreed. Yeah, I feel pretty good once we got this done. We really couldn't totally complete it until we closed out the year, but as we look at the years going forward, we're going to have some bigger expenses, but the nice thing is it looks like we're going to be able to afford it out of our coffers and not have to go out for bonds or loans or anything like that. The other thing that's not in here is we anticipate having some income from property sales this year. So that'll only improve the numbers a bit.
The project in Langley, is that included in this one here? I think it is, isn't it?
Station remodel.
Yeah, station remodels. It's 242 is what we have earmarked, and I think we're at 117 for the first of those two. The second is going to be you know, a fair amount more, I anticipate, than that, because although the work is simpler, we have to put a sprinkler system in, which is going to be another, I think, 50,000-ish. Yeah. So.
So does this include taking the Clinton station and making it habitable for firefighters?
Yes, that would be the second of the two projects. We're going to complete the maintenance first.
Right.
Yeah. We've spent about 125, I think, on the maintenance so far, haven't we? Because we had the sleeves put in for the piping before. I think that happened in December, didn't it?
Oh, you mean for the seismic upgrade? Yeah. I don't know what that ended up being. I think Terry managed that. Chief Nye managed that project.
It was just a bit under 5,000.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then this one, this project includes that. We'll talk about that project in a minute, and maybe Chief Dilley might have a few things to say on that one, because he's been really the project lead there. But
one thing it is going to need is a new air compressor over there. That barely gets us to tire pressure.
Yeah, and I think they have a plan for that, and we have some equipment we'll be able to move over from the existing maintenance facility. So, and do you all have any other questions on the cash flow?
No, I think it looks good.
No, it's excellent. So, Chief, the maintenance facility, do you think that will we end up being able to be sold by the end of the year?
Yes, I say I hope so. I think the biggest holdup with selling that is just going to be getting everything cleared out of it and moved into the new facility. So the sooner we do that, the sooner we get that facility's remodel done, the sooner we can start shifting more equipment over and get all of our stuff cleaned out.
And then find all sorts of old friends that you didn't know you had.
We've already found a number when we cleaned out the she shed, but it's yeah.
Okay. Any other questions at this point, Chief? Or
so, looking at this, if we stay to projections, we could probably do all of our capital plans that we had for this year.
Yep.
Still maintain a good balance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Erickson, any other questions on this?
Not at this time.
Well, I commend Chief and I commend Mary Kay and everybody for stewarding this process forward. It's I'm sure there's a lot of districts in the state and in the country that would give their eye teeth to have a balance sheet like this. So good job. So, Chief, you provided that to us, but no actions needed. It's simply FYI for us.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So now we go to Chief's report.
Okay. So this is the basic Chief report that starts out with call volume. It looks like our call volume's down for 2025, but this is on a monthly average, and January wasn't super busy. I do have a total call breakdown here for 2024, but I also have a presentation I'll give you at the end of this where we'll cover that in more detail. Our response times, there's no real change in response times, of course, because we haven't had anything that would really change that. No. So that's just kind of holding steady for now. Fourth seat coverage was actually fairly low for January. And I believe the reason for that is we had some folks out, military leave, I think we had some sick leave as well. Yeah, some folks who were out quite a bit during, particularly one shift got hit really hard and didn't have fourth seat very much at all for January. So I think that's really what beat us up. Our MERV staffing was at 30%. We're track That's a new tracking metric, so we'll add that in the over the course of this year, so we can see how that does. We had two career firefighters off on leave in January, which heavily impacted fourth and fifth seat coverage. So, new volunteers in process. We don't have any for approval tonight, but we have two who I think are now ready for their final phases of testing. Should be ready to approve, I think, next month.
No, that's good. That's good.
Upcoming events, we're working through, and Sherry is actually taking the lead on the project of this preparedness conference we're putting together, and she's doing a great job on that. But it's really been, a lot of folks chipping in too at this point. We're putting together the conference we talked about when we were doing strategic planning in fall, and we've been in communication with a lot of local community leaders that are really excited about this and really want to take a big part in it. Tara Anderson's been huge help so far. And also been talking to Scott with Bainbridge Prepares and the DEM. So block the calendar date out for 4/19.
Is it all day? Is it
It's going to be 9 to 5 is
nine
what
to
we have
five?
slated. We've got the school, high school commons. I think we've got some food trucks coming in, working on it. And I don't know if conference is the best word, but it's the word we've got. So we'll do some presentations on the first half of the day, and then the second half of the day, look to do breakouts and get folks working together on preparedness groups. Sorry.
I commend you for providing that leadership, because when something happens, when the excrement hits the fan, the better prepared everybody is, the better prepared everybody will be, and there'll be fewer number of people that the district has to respond to. So,
Yeah. And
good
I
job.
thanks, big thanks to the board. You guys are big into preparedness and looking for community risk reduction. That's been important to you all from the beginning, and you've been patient with us as we've worked on our response and operations. And that's getting better and better and better. And now we're really looking forward to this next phase.
So we get a little closer, you'll provide us a syllabus so we can see who's going to do what.
Yes.
Okay, good, good.
Yep. Yeah, Sherry's working on different aspects of it, having the sign up available on the website and the agenda and all that is coming together. We have an all officers meeting coming up on 2/19 next week for career and volunteer officers. And then we've got Scott Stair Climb coming up again, March 9th. So all of our folks raising a lot of money for Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. So should be a fun event for those of us who are smart enough to sign up again.
So,
Chief M's joining us this year too.
all right. So is Chief W going to be in on
Yeah.
it?
Being on it,
Little
so.
practicing going on.
Probably not enough, but yeah.
I'm curious on the all officers meeting. What typically do you cover on one of those events?
We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. We're going to get into what's coming up later in the year, which is our strategic plan and mission, vision, values work that we'll be doing. We'll be talking about the platoon organization and how that looks, because we started that last year where we teamed up volunteer with career officers and broke the district into thirds, A, B, and C platoon. So we want to revisit that and see how's it going in areas it's going very well and other areas it's not going very well. We'll also talk about upcoming testing for lieutenants to add volunteer lieutenants in this year.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also, the other thing we started this year with mixed results thus far is doing evaluations for all members, volunteer and career members both, with the focus always being, how did this year go and what are your goals for next year and how can we reach them? So, yeah.
Any other questions, Chief, on the upcoming events? Okay. We have next item is new businesses resolution 2025-03 warrant cancellation. So at this point, simply need a motion to approve that.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's easy. And then going to the next item, new business, resolution 2025-04, a budget amendment. Chief, any comments or just to go through with a motion?
Yeah, this is to carry over funds that generally were not spent in the previous year due to whatever reasons that we weren't able to make the purchase in 2024, so we're moving them forward to 2025.
So that's the back page of this resolution document where the carryover is the 516,199.
Correct.
And so with that gives us the new budget total goes to 1.756.
For those lines,
yeah. Yep. Questions of staff on this? If not, I entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the resolution 2025-04, amending the 2025 approved budget. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. I like it. We're moving forward. Next item is the resolution 2025-05, a line item adjustment from the 2024 budget. And it's Chief, any staff comments on this, or do we want to entertain a motion?
Yeah, so this is closing out the budget from the previous year. So any item that was above or below what we had anticipated by the very, very end of the year, we're balancing the budget back out to zero.
Commissioners, a question of Chief.
No questions from me.
None for me.
Motion to approve.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
There's a second.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor of resolution 2025-05, adjusting the line items within the 2024 budget, say aye.
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 Aye. None opposed? Okay, so now we have, excuse me, resolution 2025-06, by the Board of Commissioners to accept a bid and use the MRSC Small Works roster for Station 34 remodel. Chief, any comments?
Chief Dilley, you want to? He can describe any or answer any questions and describe the project, scale the project.
So there's RCWs and WACs that allow us to use the Small Works roster, which are approved vendors. They go through a process, they're approved. So it takes a lot of the legwork for us out of it. And so I received a couple bids from those vendors, and we took the best bid and brought that forth. The extent of the project is essentially dividing the apparatus bay so that we'll have a response area for the volunteers, and then the other side will become our maintenance bay. It's pretty critical so that Ian doesn't have to be out in the snow and rain that we're about to get to even just change oil and rigs and apparatus and be able to actually lift the cabs up, things of that nature to actually work on them. He's kind of doing it now without the wall there, but we're trying to actually separate it so that the fire side doesn't get affected by the maintenance side and the maintenance side doesn't get affected by the fire side. So we're trying to separate those contaminants. The other part of this is that we will add an exterior door to allow the volunteers, they don't have to go through the station, go through the maintenance side. They can actually come through the exterior and go right into their apparatus and their equipment, things of that nature, as well as adding a path, concrete pathway for them to walk on to get to that door. So fairly extensive, but should be quick. All the work seems fairly simple and straightforward as of now. The other part, like you were asking about with the air compressors, we have designs to add new copper piping for the air. We're going to bring the compressor to add another compressor from maintenance. Ian right now is looking at all the equipment that we have. How are we going to get it set up? Where are we going to place it? And then I'm going to take our two maintenance staff over and actually come up with a game plan of how we're going to lay everything out for the move for both of them. We're going to do that at the end of the month. So that way we can start planning. And hopefully once everything's built, I'm going to have them start with the wall first. We can start moving things out of maintenance and start getting it ready to start getting done at 3-4 as quickly as possible. So we have less downtime on our maintenance. So that's kind of the plan, if there's any questions.
Do we need to split the heating system? I mean, our heating bills for that station are horrendous. And
I think a lot of the heating problems is from the lamps up top, up in the attic. And I think that it'll actually help because the wall is going all the way up so that we actually have a partition. And I think that that will actually help with that, because then we're actually going to have an area separated that can be heated or not, and then they can actually adjust it, whereas right now we're just hoping it stays warm or not too hot or too cold, because people just aren't there as often. So
yeah,
we'll actually be able to regulate the temperature more.
Yeah, so we'll have two thermostats in the middle.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, great. Is there any additional equipment you're going to need to buy for the maintenance facility while we're setting up over there?
I mean, we have a dream list, but I told Ian to hold off. Let's figure out how much money we have. Obviously, a lift would be great, especially for the smaller rigs where he has to do a lot of work on, like the MERVs, the command rig, stuff like that, where it's pretty tight under these little MERVs now. So rather than him having to use jacks and jack stands and just even be able to change the oil on these things is quite time consuming just because of the amount of skid plates, things like that. So we have been looking at getting those four posts when we're done, but we want to see where we're at funding wise before we do any of that.
So that would be after after everybody's moved in.
Correct.
Okay.
And when we're done with 3-2 as well, because that hopefully we'll get that done by the end of the year too.
I know there's some people down in that area who'd really like to see that. Commissioner Erickson?
No questions for me. Thank you.
Chief, I curious, you said there were two bidders for this project?
Correct.
And the Mason Stevel Construction, what were they, low bid?
It was roughly about the same. They were slightly lower.
Okay.
But theirs was more comprehensive.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning to. Why? What made you opt for these folks?
It was how comprehensive they were. Their quote, as you guys see, it lays everything out. Whereas the other one was not. So the amount of time and effort really showed their attention to detail, in my opinion. And so if they're willing to do that on their bid, what are they going to do on the construction? So, and they're a local company. I think they're out of Freeland. So,
So did the low bid or the accepted bid provide you with references or any other similar jobs that they've done?
correct, yes.
And that gave you the confidence to move forward.
Correct.
Okay.
And they have their own subcontractors to do the electrical things of that. So
It's all under their own
it's all under the,
roof. Great.
so it's all included. We don't have to go out and get anyone. They're going to handle all of that. So
What's the time frame on it?
that's the piece I don't know till we get this done. They didn't want to, tell me just yet, but
Typical contractor.
yeah, it should be fairly quick. As soon as we're done, I'm gonna reach out and see if I can. The goal is hopefully March. Shoot,
Wow.
ambitious, I
Wow.
know,
You mean
but
March to start?
March to start.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, the amount of work shouldn't take too long. Just knowing what limited construction knowledge I have doing it 20 years ago, but it shouldn't be difficult. It should be fairly quickly completed. So
Any other questions on this subject or entertain a resolution, a motion to approve this resolution?
motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
The motion on the floor made and seconded is to approve resolution 2025-06, the Station 34 remodel. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. It passes. And now we go to resolution 2025-07. Good grief. Testing one,
Oh,
two, three. I won't get too close to the mic. This is a 2025 07 resolution for surplus of real estate property. Chief?
so this is authorizing the surplus of the lot in on Humphrey Road, the adjacent to Station 32. As described, there's the legal description here, and the address is 6428 Humphrey Road. This is the one that we had discussed earlier in executive. This would be authorization to negotiate for the sale of this property, surplus it.
Commissioners, any further questions on this subject or about a motion?
Motion to approve resolution
You have
20.
a second.
There we go.
And the motion on the floor made and seconded is a resolution to approve resolution 2025-07 surplus of real estate property. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. None opposed. I like it. And we have 2024 last item summary PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, I promise it won't be a painful PowerPoint presentation. I just thought it would be nice to do a brief review of some of the highlights from 2024 now that we've got the budget wrapped up. I don't know if this little guy is going to work or not. Oh, let me try.
It's letting you know who's boss.
Okay, next slide. Okay, so some of the goals that we had for 2024, it's not an all-inclusive list, but we had to, biggest one was to put a levy ballot measure on out to the taxpayers and see if they saw it fit to approve. We were going to order two new water tenders. Originally, we were talking about one, but two. We got a better deal that way. We were going to try to, by increased staffing, I mean, we were going to try to improve the fourth and fifth seat coverage on duty, and we were going to produce a standard of cover. Next slide. We passed the levy.
Yes.
So that was the first and foremost, and was going to help us achieve all of our dreams. Next one. We took this technically, okay, we took delivery in 2025, but we now have the first of two water tenders delivered, which you all can come down and see after this. We
That's
have it pulled over here.
a neat looking water tanker.
And it's, oh, is it right here? Nice. Yeah, it's really nice. That was Chief Nye's final act as assistant chief. So, okay, next one. Fourth seat coverage. Although we had a little slower month in January, in 2024, we went from 56% coverage in December of 23 to 84% coverage in December of 24. So that was pretty good improvement. We're not at 100, but better.
But that was simply for December, not annual.
No, that was for the whole, yeah, right. But so the trend for the whole year improved the whole year. But when we took a snapshot of the end of 2024 and or the end of 2023 and the end of 2024, that's the improvement we saw. I could have done all the months, but
But I mean the difference. From 56 to 84 is simply the 12th month of the year.
that was over the course of the year. If I put every month up, this trend line is about the same. But yeah, at the end of 23, we were sitting about 56%, and it wasn't like an anomaly. That was pretty consistent. We went from 30% back in 2022 up to 56 by the end of 23 and up to 84 by the end of 24.
Again, to answer, pose the question, that 84% is simply for the month of December, or is that,
Correct.
yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's nice, but, what is it like in January coming or in November? I mean,
Yeah, like I said, if I put all the months up, the trend line looks about the same. I could have done it that way. I just happened to do it
that's
this way.
okay.
Yep. Okay. We hired two new career staff members and 13 new volunteers. We had a nice little pinning ceremony there. That was exciting. We published the standard of cover and community risk assessment.
Jerry,
Yeah.
that's huge.
It was huge. It took a while. We got it done, and it helped us make a lot of decisions actually even back in 23. But
So Chief, with the Chief Nye's excellent work in this in the standards of cover, what is the benefit to Joe and Susie Q, citizen here in the district?
of the standard of cover, because this allows us to do is make our decisions based on data and based on what we know about our community. If you don't, in my mind, if you don't have a standard of cover community risk assessment, it's really difficult to make intelligent decisions about where we're going to go with the district, the system that we're building. This lets us informs us of everything from how best to staff stations, where to have stations at, to where should we put our resources in community risk reduction?
Dare one say that facts matter?
Facts matter. Okay, fax no printer, as the kids say. Just some incident highlights. We ran over 3,100 calls in total. We were toned out to 3,200 calls. We only went to 31 of them because we just that was just no, just kidding. There's a little bit of discrepancy between dispatch and our record keeping, which takes us a couple months to work out. We ran over 3,100 calls, 7 building fires, 10 wildland brush fires, 4 chimneys, 2 high angle rescues, 95 motor vehicle accidents, 6 vehicle fires, 18 water rescue calls, and much more. These are just a few photos.
Now, how many dog rescues from cliffs?
I think both those high angle rescue calls were technically dog rescues. So we had a FedEx fire right around Christmas. Unfortunately, I think that delayed some gifts. We had a nice water rescue. That was the morning, early wee hours of the morning on the 4th of July, as I recall. Next one. So, and then there's the dog rescue you're asking about. Small brush fire. Robbie keeping the roads clear. The chainsaw.
That dog seems very nonplussed.
Yeah. I don't think he minded his trip out. And then Chief M put together some training highlights for us. Our team delivered 5,441 hours of training hours to individuals. Over 450 hours a month of training were logged with our firefighters. We had 13 new and 3 recertified in red card or wildland firefighting. So that's a big improvement for our service. 16 people went through pumper operator training, which is a big course. It was really intense. How many weeks was that, Chief M? Yeah, so over a month of training every couple days a week and on Saturdays, as I recall. That was a huge improvement, I believe, for our service. It was something we weren't certifying folks in previously, and it's an important part of the job. We were the first in the state to host the mobile water supply certification along with that, which is cool.
I'm assuming mobile water supply means tender operators.
Correct.
And what do you do to be certified?
And you had to do that for a test proctor.
So this is a national standard, state standard, national?
Yeah, it's IFSAC certification, correct? Yeah, international.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to do a little press release because that's really what, you know, like in my little neighborhood, we've got hydrants, but the water pressure is so meager that they might as well not exist. And so other than what Langley and Freeland Water and maybe one other place, the water tenders are so critical. And I just wonder if it might be a good thing to put out a press release saying, you know, we were the first to be certified and what that means to the public. And they made the whole subject of our water tenders, the new ones, get a little press on that too.
That's a good idea. We could do that in conjunction with the push-in ceremony for the new tenders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm always looking out an old marketeer here. How can you make things, how can you make things look good even though you're still doing it anyway?
Yeah.
Be nice to sort of see if we can get some more volunteer tender operators too.
There you go. We're up to 2 now, I think. Dedicated tender only.
And those are really critical. I mean, yeah, you've got the firefighters, but if they tender is not delivering the stuff on timely, you know, the fire guys and gals can't do their magic. So they're really important.
You got to put the wet stuff on the red stuff. Okay. We've got 5 members were first responder mental health and wellness conference. They attended that. 2 members completed instructor 1. 1 member completed instructor 2, which is at instructor. Both of those are important certifications. Instructor 2 is a high level typically for training officers. So that's pretty cool.
So their instructors are certified to then instruct people within the district?
Yeah, it's a IFSAC certification as well, so it's for the whole fire service. And to become an officer 1, a certified officer, you have to first be an instructor, and that teaches you mainly focused on delivering content that's already been established. Instructor 2 is about designing and managing training programs, so it's a much higher level certification, which is pretty cool. We get actually, and if you have 1, if your training officer is instructor 2, you actually get an improvement in your insurance rating for the district. So saves people money on insurance.
But these are little things that if that can create a real value for all of us that are residents and business owners, maybe that should be on a list to crow about that. Yeah, and because in the media, the local rag doesn't, they need to fill column inches.
Yeah, they're looking for copy, that's for sure.
Bingo.
We had three members complete EMS Evaluator, which helps us to deliver EMS EMT classes. And then one of the things that, amongst many, many things, that I asked Chief M to do for us when he got here, is start to deliver after action reviews, which means that whenever we have a fire or a critical call, we get everybody back together in here. We pull up on the board everything that happened. We have maps, we have photos, we have the tapes from dispatch, we have the tapes from everybody arriving, getting on the radio and talking. We look at the whole thing and we take an eye to what did we do well, what could we do better. And it's done in an environment of positivity. Nobody's going to get in trouble or point the finger, but we're going to be very realistic about how we performed. We've done now 8 of those this year, which is like, oh, okay, 8. That's a big deal. And it's really cool. And they take a lot of work to do. So we had 5 fires that we did after action reviews on. We had 2 rope rescues and just 1 CPR at this point, but that's something that we'll continue to build on. So that's been huge. Good job.
So what determines after action review to occur?
Any fire
Okay,
and really
okay.
any large incident should have it. It's actually spelled out in policy. We look at that every time we do one. But yeah, so any fire needs to get an after action review, not a activated fire alarm. But so we had 4. Our new employees are now going and doing ride-alongs with the county dispatch. So they spend the day there watching how dispatch works and talking to the dispatchers. That's a huge benefit to our members to understand that.
So when you use the term ride along, they're in the dispatch office just seeing what they're doing. That's what a ride along is in that case.
Right, I use that colloquialism because we
Okay,
kind of
that's
like
fine. That's fine.
common for just for us. All members are being trained in traffic incident management safety, which means that helps us to be safer alongside the highway. We lose a lot of first responders getting hit, working alongside the highways. So that's huge. New extrication tools were put in service, and multiple volunteers had their initial extrication training. 7 EMTs from the 2023-24 Academy and 5 from 24 Academy we put out in the street. 5 firefighters from the 2024 Academy, and 3 members completed advanced boat operation training, which is great. The volunteer participation, so we had 3,900 volunteer shift hours worked, up from 1,944 in 2023.
Good job.
77% increase in MERV hours from the previous year. We have some really active folks who are doing a great job on that. And we have overall volunteer participation increased from 3,700 hours in 23 to 6,593 in 24. So
That's really good.
I'm not going to tell you we're going to do that again this year, guys. We'll try, but we had a
Let's
big
keep
improvement.
trying.
We'll keep trying.
That's a really big improvement. That's
Yeah.
one budget item I like to see go way over.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Chief, any thought for why there's such an increase in the volunteer hours?
Well, I think we're just every the team here, the whole team's just doing a great job. Everything's getting better. There's excitement around that. And the folks that we have coming in are engaging more. Not everyone is. We have folks who show up, do training, and we don't see them again. But we have some folks who are really involved and coming in doing a lot of shifts. I think the shift requirement has helped.
I won't say, you didn't say it's because of your stellar leadership.
No, that's probably, if anything, that was a detriment.
It's all the other chief's stellar leadership.
Well, that's not untrue. Then public outreach, they've done just an incredible job. We do a tremendous number of events every year. We had Cooper Ullman, one of our firefighters, took over a couple of years ago. We started installing smoke detectors and or changing batteries. Really, anytime somebody calls us, says, I don't want to get up on the ladder, I need something fixed, we basically go. Which is good because we don't want him to fall off the ladder. At any rate, he's did at least 98 smoke detector installs or batteries changed according to his log. 118 blue address signs were installed. Those help us to locate houses. Fire safety education was delivered to all students at South Whidbey Elementary, Wellington, and ICA schools during Fire Prevention Week. So that was a new thing, new curriculum we got, and they got out and saw all the kids and delivered the class. And then they visited classes throughout the year providing that training as well. We had over 10 public outreach events, so things of all different natures, you know, the trunk or treat, the Santa sleigh, the Easter event, all those different things. And also several commercial fire pre-plan activities were done.
Chief, question about the blue street number signs. Is there any data here or nationally about the value of identified signs like that?
I'm not aware. There probably is. I'm not aware what that data says, to be honest.
Because if
I'm
there
assuming
were,
it's good. We know
you know intuitively.
we know that it helps a lot, especially in a rural area, to be able to have a sign you can see from a distance that's reflective.
Just the thought that maybe that's like even in this disaster seminar we're going to have, that's a little something that could be publicized because seconds count, you
Yeah, it's a
know.
good idea to have a sign up, have the sign ups there
I mean, it's like
at the deal.
the Knox box. That's a form of life insurance. If they can get in the house in seconds instead of having to knock a door down or find out where the spare key is. So
Yeah.
just a thought.
Good stuff. As you know, you all approved the purchase and got to see them when we got them. We got the new extrication tools delivered. These are a couple of kind of fun pictures. We have Cooper and Sean demonstrating the tools, and then this is the fair. This year's extrication demo went much better with tools that started. Weird. And we were able to use the same tools throughout the extrication instead of switching them out three times. The other thing that I don't have the data for, but I will share one anecdote briefly about the new tools. The first time that I was on a motor vehicle crash this year, I pulled up to an area in Freeland right along 525. There's kind of a grassy field there right near the health club. I was the first to arrive on scene in my SUV from the fire district. There was a state patrolman already on scene. I stopped my car and a seasoned older state patrolman was beelining directly to my truck, and I said, that's probably not a great sign. I saw a car clear across the field and down over the ditch into a tree, and he got to my window and said, we've got an unconscious and trapped in the car. I said, okay. Got out, got on the radio. I told the engine, we got an unconscious and trapped in the vehicle. I need to pull up right behind my car and get him out. And they put the air brake on, hopped out, had the tools out to the side of the car, and had the patient cut out within about 30 seconds. There is no way we would have ever been able to do that with gas-powered tools. It would have taken you 2 or 3 minutes just to get them up and run and get the hoses attached, get the stuff over there. They're worth their weight in gold. They got her out, got her on the rig, got her transported, and she was still alive at that time. So those are cool. Thank you. We completed and passed the state audit. Thank you, Mary Kay. That was a lot of work. Upcoming in 2025, we got the second water tender delivery coming up, remodel of Station 32, addition of two new firefighter positions currently in training at State Academy. We've got that should say phase one, of new training facility being installed within the year. Fire inspections are happening, or getting ready to start fire inspections in conjunction with Island County. Had a meeting this afternoon with them.
High five.
That's a good thing. It's not always easy. New strategic plan and visioning are set to occur this year, and much, much more. Also, Commissioner Chairman Noblet asked me to do a brief recap of NFA, which I just went to. Make it snappy. I went to the National Fire Academy this year, or just last month. Next slide. So this is just a couple of quick photos. It was very cold there, but beautiful. These are a couple of my classmates working together from different parts of the country. One's from Kansas City, and the other one was from Birmingham, Alabama. Thought that was a fun shot. They're answering each other's phones. We had a lot of homework. You can see in the photo on the right, there's our homework assignment for the first day. And then the next slide. And so what did the course cover? The course was a 10-day course that addressed fire and rescue department operations at natural and man-made disasters. Some of the examples were earthquakes, hurricanes, terrorism type events, hazardous materials, etc. We worked as a team through the planning P process and completion of incident action plans. So that's the planning P, because I thought somebody may wonder, what is a planning P? So what the planning P is this lays out a operational period, which is how we break out large scale incidents. So we, every operational period, you begin the operations, you work your way through them, and you're planning for the next operational period during that time. We did that over and over again throughout the 10 days. We started out with a few days of lecture, and then we just ran incidents over and over. Learned a lot. If you go to the next page, it was great. Great experience. I appreciate the board's support and indeed insistence that I go and get this training. Commissioner Towers had been and was a big proponent of this class, and so it was great. I brought back organizing a preparedness conference for April 19th. Regular meetings and conversations with Island County Emergency Management since I got back, and actually before the pre-work for this class was to contact him and do an interview about what we have going on here in the county. And we have an earthquake exercise planned with Island County and other stakeholders in fall of this year, and would love to have the commissioners involved with that. One of the things you find in this training is a lot of the folks involved in the incident command group are not firefighters and police. They are mayors, they are elected officials, they are public works, all the people who make this stuff happen. And improved my knowledge and skills in managing large scale disasters. So that's what I got. And we have the tender out front, sounds like.
Questions to the chief on this excellent tutorial you went through?
I am very excited to see all the things that we accomplished last year. I really appreciate you compiling all of that. It reminds me why we do this. It's to make a difference in our communities, to stand up, do the right thing, make things work. And it's nice to kind of have the opportunity to look back at all the good work we've done. So thank you for providing that. And I would say there's probably a number of things in there may warrant press releases, but are also fun. Did you know factoids for social media sharing, quick, simple graphics to kind of remind folks. We're here at least every month as commissioners. You're here every day. Why do we do what we do? Why is it valuable to our community? And of course, it certainly substantiates why they approved the levy we had them pass last year.
Absolutely. We need to get a new PIO. Well, Sherry's working on it. I think you have a class scheduled for PIO too. Yeah, okay. Well,
surprise. I thought so.
You were working with them, so I assumed. But so we lost when Chief Nye left. We really lost our social media person. So we got to get that fixed.
Commissioner Towers, any thoughts?
Are we doing the comments?
Well, no, just on this subject.
Yeah. I think it's been a great year.
Chief, just one question. I know in the past, I've got the feeling that county emergency preparedness was, how do I say it diplomatically, standoffish, one way, right way, and their way. Do you think because you've, in a sense, become one of them, that that's less now?
I hope so.
Okay.
Okay.
All we can do is to hit or lick every day, though. So at this point, if there's no more questions, Chief, on his report, are there announcements?
I've covered mine already.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, comments from commissioners. Commissioner Erickson?
None this month, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Towers?
One thing I would like to ask if we can put on the huge long list of things to do, and that would be interlocal agreements so that we can respond if, you know, we have another set of fires like we did in California recently.
So I've already reached out to the state coordinator. We could talk about it more. I'm not in support, from my experience so far, in going out of state with us yet. I would like to see us work for at least for a year or two in state. Mm-hmm. And some of our partners nearby did deploy this year. They had car accidents, personnel issues, and a lot of things out of state. So I do have some concerns about that part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understood.
But yeah, it was hard to watch everybody go and help for our folks and not not be in the truck heading down there, so that's for sure. So
Chief, on that subject of sort of interlocal cooperation, if we had a situation like California develop here, would we be looking, how would that be implemented, or is that something we need to work on at a state level or county level, such that we're not inventing the wheel when we need to roll it?
Yeah, that's really what the training I went to covered, and what these exercises work to cover too, is what does it look like to get resources? It's all about resources on some level. There's mm-hmm. the incident management, and then there's the resources and getting the resources. It's got to start with county, then it goes to the state, and it goes to the federal government, regional. So the pieces are there.
Yeah.
It's just understanding how to use them is a huge part of that.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that 2 weeks was well spent for you, and definitely well spent for the public we represent. So good job. If there's no other comments from commissioners, we don't have a member update, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Let's go home. Everybody's in favor of that.